Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
17, and if you were able physically this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Then the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, "Do not be afraid, but keep on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you or hurt you, because I have many people in this city." And he stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. While Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack against Paul and brought him back to the judge's bench. "This man," they said, "persuades people to worship God contradictory to the law." As Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If this were a matter of a crime or a moral evil, it would be responsible for me to put up with you Jews. But if these are questions about words, names, or your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not want to be a judge of such things." So he drove them from the judge's bench. Then they all seized Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the judge's bench. But none of these things concerned Gallio. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, again for your word, the privilege we have to assemble as the body of Christ, Lord, with so many of us from so many different backgrounds, have encountered so many different things this week. We're so thankful today that we are made one in you. Father, I pray this morning that your word would go forth in power, that you would speak to hearts, and that your spirit, God, would open hearts, that you would give wisdom to whatever it is this morning that needs to be dealt with in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be faithfully committed to the truth, the only truth, the truth that changes hearts, lives, homes, and Father, changes eternities. God, I thank you that this morning I can be hidden behind the cross, Lord, and so that you alone will be glorified. Pray that ones would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ today, not only in this building, but watching online all over the globe, that the good news would be proclaimed boldly. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I always get kind of humored at the end of that in verse 17 when Sosthenes, you know, this leader of the synagogue, he thinks he's got one. He's going to get a wing on one of the Jews, and he ends up getting beaten in front of the judge's bench, basically publicly beaten. So he learned a good lesson right there. But this verses 9 through 11 again. Then the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, "Do not be afraid, but keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will lay a hand on you to hurt you, because I have many people in this city." He stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. First thing that I want to share with you this morning is this: be bold and fearless. It is very, very easy to fall victim right now to the desire to be liked by people, whether it's in your sphere of friendship, sphere of influence, work, your community. I could go on with a litany of trails that I could go down. That is a very serious temptation for anybody who breathes. You get people say, "I ain't nobody in the world, I care." But at some level or another, there's not a person in here that genuinely will really say this in all honesty: "I don't care if anybody likes me." I can promise you, if you go home tonight, you would hope you and your wife were in some bit of harmony together. If not, then you've got a real serious mental issue, and we need to get you some help, or your wife, whoever it is. You want to be in harmony, ladies, with your husband, husbands with your wives. Because I will promise you, if there's no peace at home, you have no peace. You can be bold and fearless, though, and not care what people think in response and in relation to who you are as a Christian. And it does matter that much. "Well, Brother Jonathan, what do you mean? What if your husband, your wife says, 'Listen, I'm done with that Jesus stuff, and if you don't stop it, I'm out of here.'" What would your response be to that? Well, I don't want you to leave, and I love you, and I care about you, and that's why I am who I am, because I can't love you unless the Lord is the Lord of my life, the God of my home, the God of my everything. But if you don't make me make a choice between the Lord and you, because you will lose. You know how many people, though, even as professed believers, would have a hard time with that? But this is what you don't realize. There is no peace apart from Him. So if you were to sideline the Lord in the walk with Christ, that is all that we are when we've been crucified with Christ. We don't live, but Christ lives in us. You don't understand. You think you're keeping peace by sidelining that? No, you're actually inviting in a horror that Martin Scorsese couldn't write. And by the way, he's one that writes those horror films. You couldn't imagine the horror that will be your life. You will never know peace in any form when you disinvite the Spirit of God that dwells within you to fellowship in your home or your family. You think your wife or your husband, you're going to get along better when you finally stop talking about the Lord because they find it not palatable? I'll just invoke the words of that atheist Gillette Penn. How much could you hate someone not to tell them, right? Meaning, how much could you hate someone not to talk about something that is so fundamentally important, or should be, if that is your thought system? As he said, if you're an atheist and you don't proselytize, get out of my face, is what he said, word for word. That is very, very, very telling to me. That is not a believer. This is a person who is completely anti everything that we are. He does not believe it, but his statement was so profound. If this means that much, how could you be silent? And by the way, how much could you hate someone not to share with them this thing that you believe in so much? Be bold and fearless. You have nothing to fear. Paul's getting this beautiful reiteration of God's protective promise right there. What does God say to him? Listen, do not be silent. I am with you. No one will lay a hand on you to hurt you because I have many people in the city. You got to understand that this, as a follower of Christ, is a promise we have from God now. As a follower of Christ, doing God's will, there's nothing that God won't allow that is outside of His allowance. Now, when bad things happen, you go, oh, God did that. No, there's certain things that God allows sometimes, but a lot of times we'll look back and it has, in some way or another, a part of the actions or things that we were involved in. You can't say, going down the road at 190 miles an hour, I don't know how in the world I had an accident. It just, you know, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I couldn't believe the car pulled out. It came on me so quick. I don't know why they were so foolish to pull out in front of me. Come on, use your brains. I don't know why in the world this happened. I only drank 9 drinks. Thing you know, I was in a ditch against a tree. It was a freak accident. No, there are a lot of times there's choices that people make. That's why it bothers me sometimes when you hear someone say, well, they were involved in an accident. Well, they didn't do it on purpose. That's true. But there's things that we do going down the roads in cars sometimes, right, that people do. And as a matter of fact, if you just glance as a passenger in a car at another car riding next to you on the interstate, you will be astounded at the majority of people that are riding in the left lane are doing so because they want to be able to look at their phone and they don't have to worry about changing lanes and doing anything else. They just have to block everybody else that wants to go down the road. But you wonder why in the world, I don't know why I hit the back end of them. I never saw them. Oh, I bet you didn't. You were looking at your Facebook status or your whatever count on your Snapchat or whatever it was you were looking at. You got all excited about some email that somebody sent you that had to do nothing with anything that was important. But those things that we do that make life uncomfortable. I don't know why in the world the IRS came and raided my house and seized my bank account. It's only been 5 years. I'm on the 10-year plan. I just send one in every 10 years. And no, we make decisions that have fundamental effects on what we do and we don't do down the road. Amen? But then what happens is we have these decisions that we make, but then we don't want to live up. We don't want to own them. Woe is me. Oh, I can't believe everything happens. Why does it always happen to me? No, we make choices. We find ourselves in arenas through results of things. So this is not the deal right here. There's bad things that happen to God's people and good people. Matter of fact, look at Jesus, 33 years old. Keith Green, I think he was 33 years old. Rich Mullins was about the same, 33 years old, wasn't he? John, close to? Real close to it. But you have a lot of these people, you go, that are serving the Lord, then they just, like a candle in the wind, they blow out. Why does that, does that make sense? No, it doesn't, but Ecclesiastes gives much wisdom, as does Proverbs, in the fact that those kind of things happen. But own the choices that you make. Look at this, be bold and fearless. Be bold and fearless, and make a concerted effort to be bold and fearless. It doesn't happen by happenstance. Paul is being bold and seriously fearless because God had called him to. He had equipped him to do that. But what Paul knew was the message that he had was something he could not be bold over. It mattered that much. There were lives, there was families. And by the way, when you look at it now, there's generations that have benefited now from the boldness with which Paul proclaimed the gospel. Are y'all getting hot? I see a whole lot of fans. There's some, I don't want to have to take a whole poll because we don't have enough time. But let me just make sure that y'all's air is on, because I have a feeling we're going to have a typhoon up in here if we get too many more fans going at one time. Oh, good gracious. It's 75 degrees in here, church. Ladies, put your jacket on. Amen. Oh me, I shouldn't have said that. They're going to get after me now for being cold in a minute. But be bold and fearless. Then listen to verses 12 through 15. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack against Paul, brought him back to the judge's bench. This man, they said, persuades people to worship God contrary to the law. As Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio says to the Jews, if this were a matter of a crime or a moral evil, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you Jews. But if these are questions about words, names, or your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not want to be a judge of such things. Leads to the second thing that I want to share with you this morning. It's this: God protects the message and the messenger. Again, God had called Paul to do what he was doing. We see this issue where the Jews tried to get the Romans involved in Jewish matters, and that didn't do well. We see these proconsuls, we see this big mess, and this ultimately we watch God in a rather humorous way bring glory and honor to his name, but then shame those who were trying to quell, trying to squash, trying to quiet the message of truth. And these are these things that we've got to remember. If God is going to be on our side, we've got to be fearlessly standing where we should be, doing what we're supposed to be. Don't be standing over there doing what you shouldn't be doing and then cry foul when something happens naturally in the course of your life. The Jewish people at this point who had rejected Jesus, I'm not talking about the Jews who come to faith in Christ, but I'm talking about the ones, as we see right here, one of them being Sosthenes. He was one of the spiritual leaders. He is in contradiction to truth. He's trying to get this message. They called it the message. They called it the way. They called it Jesus was a little Christ, right? These Christians, little Christs, they were followers of the way. We thought we'd extinguish this in the Jesus stuff. Now it's coming back up. They're trying to do everything in their power to silence the way, the truth, the life. God's not going to let that happen. We watch it now culturally happening, and it happens in some form, doesn't it? Godly family heritages gone in a matter of a generation. Why? Well, this mom and dad didn't see it worthwhile or relevant anymore to be followers of Christ, and they just kind of did an old mindset of, well, whatever happens, happens. Look at this. Generations, I shared this last week, of godly foundation that is now all but eroded in so many cases. I'm excited, though, because even in this body of Christ, I have seen families that are in this body that are now plugged in that have no lineage in any way that they've seen, shape, or form that's godly anyway up the line. So I'm excited about that. Amen. You might see things that go to the wayside with some families, and all of us are making choices that will determine whether we do or don't do what God's called us to, which will have a true impact, whether you believe it or not, in the generations that come with you and after you. Your children are going to find important what you find important. They're going to see the Jesus that you represent, whether that's legalistic, you know, well, God, we better go to church or the Lord's going to be mad at us. And you can really present this extremely warped picture of Christ, or you can show the real picture of him, which is we're just loving the Lord. We're living for the Lord. We're broken. We're saved by the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus. We repent when we need to repent, when we realize that living, loving, honoring, and glorifying Christ is just to live to glorify him, to try to be in the world but not of the world. We want to be set apart. We don't want to be someone who, though, presents this image as completely unattainable. It's so important to be genuine and realistic in your walk with Christ. That's why I think, you know, parents, when you don't hit the mark, it's good to be honest with your kids, especially the older they get, most importantly, is, hey, you know what? We messed up just like everybody else, and I'm just thankful for the grace of Christ. I'm thankful for his forgiveness, because though I strive to do what God's will is and to honor him, there's some days that I just really don't hit like I should. My attitude wasn't what it should be, and I'm sorry about that, and I need your forgiveness. These are things that you have to do, but you have to make a concerted effort here to not think, oh, if I do that, then the kids are going to think that I'm not a good Christian. They're actually going to see you not doing that down the road as a big sham, and they're going to say, hey, mom and dad never apologized for nothing. Be very, very careful, because you can end up doing great harm to the name of Christ by not living it out as bold, as blatantly obvious in front of them in the truth of you can have a good time as a Christian. Amen? You can. You can have a great time as a Christian. Getting together and playing guitars, whether it's getting together and playing guitars for a special at church, or whether it's getting together for the nights that we've had so many different things here. I can even name all the things. Years ago, we used to do fireworks here, but one year about blew up the whole neighborhood. 5 minutes after Brother Jonathan left, and I thought we better, we had to stop doing that for a bit here until we regroup. But you can have a really good time as brothers and sisters in Christ. As a matter of fact, scripturally it talks about they broke bread together when? Daily. It's good to get together with each other. We need each other. We really do. We desperately one another. Relationships are extremely important. But remember, protect the message. God's going to protect the message and the messenger. We have to protect the message by the way that we live, because if not, we can do great damage to the kingdom by what we're not doing. Listen to verses 16 and 17. So then he drove them from the judge's bench. Then all of them seized Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, beat him in front of the judge's bench. But none of these things concerned Gallio. The third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Don't discredit the truth. Defend it. You see what Sosthenes did? He brought complete shame and disgrace on the Jewish people. The reason was, is he didn't have truth backing what he was doing. Had he had truth backing what he was doing, and even if he got in trouble for it, the Bible says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. It also says, consider yourself to have been found worthy when you suffer for the name. See, they weren't suffering for the name. Sosthenes was suffering for what? The old order of things, the law, basically. And Christ Jesus came to obliterate, to free us from the law, and to what? Usher in the new covenant. So under the new covenant, Sosthenes' thinking had no place. So what, in essence, he was doing, and the Jewish people who are still living under that, is they're fighting God. They're fighting God. Anybody in here ever had a fight with the Lord? Besides me? Yeah, I've had to fight with God at times, right? I don't like what you're doing, and I'm this. You know who wins every time? God does. But what happens is I always find out where I'm out of step with what his desire, his will is. God brings me to the understanding, which is true understanding, that even in my three-year-old fit, whether it's mentally or even verbally, hey, it's not about your kingdom, it's not about your glory and your honor. I was created, I'm thinking about God saying, you were created by me for me. Yes, Dad, right? That's God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're his. We don't have a family. You know that our families, they're not our family. Drives me crazy how we so possessively say, I hear pastors say, it's my church. It ain't my church. This is God's. All this is a structure with which the body of Christ assembles, and everything in this, I pray, is owned by God, because if you think in a moment we own this, we're in trouble. Everything's gonna be a heap of wreckage if this is about us and what we're doing. It's all God's. Your wife, your husband, they're not yours. They're God's. Your kids, they're God's. Your grandkids, they're God's. Your home, it's God's. Your job, I hope it's God's. Because if you prayed about it and God led you to it, you're doing what God created you to do, and you're merely living out his purpose for your life. And it's merely God's job that he has placed you in. What happens when we get them ourselves? It doesn't end up real well, does it? How many of us in our self-righteous, right? You know, well, this is my money and I'll do what I want. Oh, it's okay. God will let you do it all day long. See, if you're his child, it's his money. How many people have you ever seen go from extremely wealthy to absolutely, completely broke? I've seen it happen in my lifetime more times than I could even write in a book. I've watched God take some really good people that had a very inflated self-perspective and remove everything that they had and humble them. And I've heard their testimonies before. One most notably that always bothers me, I was at the first speaking engagement that Jim Baker, if you remember Jim Baker, the reason it resonated with me is we lived in Charlotte, North Carolina in the 80s. And Jim Baker was the founder of PTL. As a matter of fact, a joke where we lived in Charlotte was, we called it Pass the Loot. That was the Charlotte because it was a big money endeavor. There was some good ministry stuff that was done for a good period of time, but then it became about the money. And if you remember, I think it was in 1986, he was arrested. A big, huge scandal erupted, and it was the downfall of PTL. Well, Jim Baker went to prison. I was in Franklin and was invited to go hear the first public speaking engagement he made after he was released from prison. And that was in, if I remember correctly, about 1994, I believe it was. But I remember, because again, I remember I saw this man in person years and years before as a child, and I remember hearing his genuine humility and how God had to humble him. And it was in that jail cell that he really, in the depth of his brokenness, and he said, you know, I'm never going to use and exploit the name of the Lord, you know, for financial gain and all these things. But I just happened a few years ago on a TV program. And if I didn't know any different, I would believe it was the identical compound that is in Branson, Missouri, that was in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It is identical. His wife divorced him when he went to prison, and she married another man, and then ultimately she ended up getting cancer and dying, if any of you who remember this story. But I saw that, and it broke my heart, because it's a mirror. It's actually even called the same thing, Heritage. It was Heritage USA was the name of the original one. It's called Heritage up there. And it's very sad, because it reminds me that all of us, there's nothing that separates us from making a mess with our life. When we are yielded, when we are humble, when we stay faithfully committed to the plans and purposes of the Lord, I hope his heart's great. And I don't in any way say that I'm in any way putting a judgmental spin on this. I just heard the man verbatim from his mouth say, I'll never do what I did before. And to see that, it just breaks my heart, because so many people were harmed in the downfall of Heritage USA, PTL, in Rock Hill, South Carolina. We've got to be really careful, because, brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't just have to be on a center stage on the nation's capital. You don't have to be in some big mega church, Six Flags Over Jesus in some big city. You don't have to have that. You don't have to be that to bring great harm to the kingdom. Don't discredit the truth. Defend it. Live it. It is an everyday, get up, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What is that? That's getting up and saying, Lord, I am but clay in your hands. Mold me and make me, take me, use me for your glory. God, I have no truth apart from you. God, humble me. Lord, humble me. Don't allow myself to need to be humbled. God, teach me to stay in a place of humility. Teach me to always remember what the true vision of being a follower of Christ is and the call of a disciple. Love, that is the number one thing as a follower of Christ, is love. Does love mean that when someone's living in complete rejection of everything the Lord is, that you don't go and say, hey, I'm concerned for you. The enemy desires to destroy you, and I want nothing more than the best for you. Does that mean you don't say anything because they might get upset? No, you say something because that's what love is. Can somebody get mad at you and lash out at you and get angry and not want to see you? That's okay. Make it their problem, not yours. You show them, though, that's what true love is. You're willing to risk everything for what you know means everything. And that's what we see right here with Paul. I'm so thankful, though, that Paul was so, I mean, literally, you see Paul from the time the Damascus Road till the time that Paul, in a sense, disappears spiritually. We know he died in Rome because that's what he said was going to happen. That's what the Word says was going to happen. He fearlessly defended, stood for, and manifested the picture of truth, the unchanging standard of God's Word, God's purpose, and God's plan. And my question to all of us this morning, and our subtitle is this: leave me out of it. Leave me out of it. That's what Gallio said, leave me out of it. Do you want to be left out this morning of God's purpose, plan, and work? Do you want to be invited into the foolishness of believing that your friendships, your relationships, oh, I want to be cool, I want to be relevant, I want people to like me? What is that going to do one day when you stand before the Lord and give account for the life that you've lived and what God's entrusted you with? Do you really think that person that you're trying to win their approval right now, and that if when they say that thing that's so off the wall and you want to go, what is that? What is that you just say? Would you clarify that? And you don't say it because you're worried that they might get upset. Are you really worried about their approval and their affirmation? When in reality, you could say that statement by making them clarify that. They go, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that in the first place. Sorry about that. Are you really that concerned about that relationship with that person and doing so, demonstrating anything other than love? Or are you sold out steadfastly to truth? Because truth doesn't change. And by the way, those people that you have to compromise to be friends with, you just wait till your, I don't call it luck, I don't believe in luck, but let's just say your fortune changes. You wait till you're at the bottom. Those people who are your designer friends, who like it because you guys kind of click and you got money and they got money and y'all have a good time together, don't think for 5 seconds that their morals are built on anything other than that whole entire mindset, that whole entire lifestyle. And I promise you, when you find yourself on the other side of that, their friendship will turn on you like a bad habit. And you won't have those people that you had to win by compromise. They will be nowhere to be found. But that person that's just kind of not like other people, that maybe sometimes when you're not where you should be spiritually and they say that thing that you kind of get ticked off at, and later on you realize you needed to hear that, and that person that you actually can call and they will come, as opposed to, hey, I'll get to that when I get freed up 6 months from now, that never shows up. That person that actually shows up is someone who truly loves you. They care about you. And I promise you, I will take 10 of those brokered brokes. Don't dress like everybody else. Don't act like everybody else. I'll take 10 of those to those people that make you culturally look really relevant and real because they're with it. They have the big house in the country club. He wants to be over there. You can have that life, amen? Because I want people that are just the old saying is, take your pants off, put them on the same way. They care about you just like everybody else, because that is the demonstration of love. They see a need, they meet a need, they're being hands and feet of Christ. They're not a person that sees a need and says, I'll pray about it. They're the person that says, how can I minister to you? And that ultimately is what we're seeing lived out. Are you living that out? Are you part of God's ministry? Are you part of the hands and feet of Jesus in this community? And my closing question is this: if not, why not? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. God, thank you for this picture as we see with Paul. Father, willing, no matter what the cost was, to be persecuted, Lord, to be mocked, to be ridiculed.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.